Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanksgiving week. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Fantasy football, oh how I love thee, oh how I hate thee. We are getting down to it for most of you in playoff runs. You got a week in smaller leagues, maybe two. This is it. We're getting down to it. Hope you've had a really good fantasy season. Mine has been, I have to say, better than it's been bad. I have a couple leagues where I am absolutely terrible. My own league, I think I've got 3 wins. In the straight standard scoring league, touchdown only league, I got 2 wins. Bad seasons there. Everywhere else, all other eight leagues I'm in, NFL, I'm in playoff contention. I'm still 11-1 in one league. Wrapped up the number one seed, first round bye. In first place, a couple leagues, second place in a couple leagues, third, fourth, fifth, all playoff contention. So the Devy League, which I am the defending champion in, I took a loss to the number one team. I was number two. Winner had sole possession of first place. I lost thanks to Lamar Jackson, which I will get to him here very soon. All in all, good fantasy season so far in the NFL. College, I am in the fantasy championship in that big two quarterback, multi-running back, multi-flex, two kickers, two DSTs. I'm in the championship this week. Really looking forward to that. Looking for my second consecutive college championship in as many years as playing college. Love college football. Love college fantasy. Really expands your knowledge of players throughout the country because you're paying attention to not only the players on your team, but the players you're going against. You're getting familiar with players that are on different schools, like, you know, you may not hear on a regular basis on ESPN or college fantasy shows, Fox Sports or whatever. Really enhances your knowledge at the next level for not only your dynasty, Devy, but also, you know, these guys going into the NFL. You can say, oh, yeah, I've heard of that guy. He put up 50 against me in the national in the college championship 2 years ago. So it really helps. It's enhanced my knowledge of players coming into the NFL, you know, substantially in the last 2 seasons. It's rivalry week in college football. This is when your team faces their arch rival. Okay, this is Ohio State and Michigan week. This is Florida State week. Oklahoma State. It's called Bedlam. This is huge. I love rivalry week. It sucks that it's the last week of the season in college football, but we have got here. It's awesome. I'm going to talk a little bit here about college football for a little bit. Ohio State, they beat Penn State. I'm sure everybody has known that. I've seen that by now. I mean, it was a big win for Ohio State, don't get me wrong. They needed that win to really, you know, put a stamp, you know, on a really good season. They have a couple of key, you know, big-time wins now for their program. They do still have, I mean, Michigan's going to play them tough. Okay, that's in Ann Arbor. It's going to be a tough game. Go Blue. Let's hope, but I doubt it. Okay, Ohio State's playing on a different level right now. You know, as long as they don't stumble against Michigan or whoever they face in the Big Ten Championship, you know, they're going to represent as one of the four teams in the college football playoff. I want to really focus on the play of Chase Young. And from an early part of this season, Chase Young has just taken this season, you know, by the horns and has really played on another level. And what he has done the last two or three games against some bigger competition is definitely noteworthy and cannot be ignored, even for somebody like myself who isn't a big Buckeye fan. So, you know, Chase Young, there's stuff where, you know, he's in, you know, the conversation for the Heisman. The Heisman Trophy is defined as the best player in college football. Okay? And up and down the board, there are players that are worthy of this award. Okay, Jalen Hurts kind of cooled off a little bit the last couple of weeks. The loss really hurt him. But, you know, the play of Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, you know, those guys all deserving. I mean, even Chuba Hubbard, Oklahoma State running back, you know, fantastic season. He's going to get invited, you know, to the Heisman finalist. I doubt it. All these guys have had fantastic seasons. But it's hard to argue with Chase Young as what you would define as the best player in college football. Okay, do I think he's going to win the award? No. Do I think he's going to get an invitation as a finalist? Yes, and also deservingly so. It's almost like he's unblockable. I watched the Penn State game, almost all of it. It's like the guy he's going against didn't even exist. It's almost like, and I defined it as, you ever watched The Flash on the CW? The Flash can phase through walls and everything. It's almost like Chase Young phases through his opponent, and the opponent's like, okay, where'd this guy go? Okay, they're double-teaming. They put a running back on to chip him. That's just a joke. He is so dominant at his position, it's hard to argue that he is not the best player in college football at this time. Do I think he's going to win? Probably not. I mean, if Joe Burrow and LSU continues on their winning ways, I think it's Joe Burrow's award, you know, minus a hiccup or a stumble, you know, somewhere throughout. But a loss, or, you know, he throws five interceptions, it may hurt his chances, but I mean, I think right now he's the guy. And deservingly so. He's having a fantastic season. But, you know, Chase Young finishing second wouldn't surprise me either. Oh, yeah, it's Florida State week. Okay, I said all along, you know, what we'd hoped to grow on as, you know, as Florida State fan base this year was to get bowl eligible. They did that last week with their win against Alabama State. I'm not going to get any kind of illusions here where I think they're going to go into the swamp, upset the Gators, and just ride off, you know, in the fairy tale season, you know, the ending for Odell Higgins, who is the interim coach since the firing of Lloyd Taggart. But how cool would it be, and let's entertain it for just a couple of minutes, how awesome would it be for FSU to go in there and win a game that they have absolutely no business winning? Florida should absolutely take care of this game and handle them. Okay? The rankings go out the window in a rivalry game like this, much like Ohio State, Michigan. These guys went to high school together. Okay? A lot of them grew up together. They just decided to go to different colleges. Okay, these guys know each other from way back. Love this game. Don't necessarily love this game this year. Definitely will watch. I'll be rooting for my Noles all the way. It's a game that the Gators should win handily. Okay, their defense is good. Florida State's offense is showing signs, but FSU's defense is not that great in the back end. And, you know, I think Kyle Trask can have a good game against the FSU secondary. Florida doesn't run the ball all that well. I think their leading rusher has half the yardage of Cam Akers. So, I mean, if they can control the run and make them pass, you know, maybe the pass rush can get there, make it a game into the fourth quarter. Maybe they don't get embarrassed. That would be a check mark. But big game this weekend. Can't wait for it. Looking forward to Florida State. Always do. But before that, we have Thanksgiving. We have NFL games going on Thursday. Three big games, six teams. Don't forget to fill your lineups out accordingly. You have six teams playing on Thursday. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a little bit. But first, I've got to talk about Baltimore Ravens. So let's start our recap through the NFL this week. Baltimore, Los Angeles Rams. If you watched the game, it was on primetime ESPN, Monday Night Football. What you're getting from Lamar Jackson right now is fantastic numbers and fantastic gameplay. Okay, the yardage doesn't wow you. Okay, 169 passing yards, that doesn't wow you. The 5 touchdown passes blows you out of the water. The 95 yards on the ground blows you out of the water. Okay, he's not passing for tremendous passing yards. I think that'll come in years, with years to come. That'll come in the near future. Next year, the following year, his yardage will go up. His scrambling ability keeps him relevant, and, you know, it keeps everybody in. He's learning how to throw the ball better than he did in college and better than he did, you know, last year. I didn't see this coming from Lamar Jackson. I actually traded him in the Devy League in the offseason because I really wasn't impressed with what I saw his rookie year in the NFL. I got to watch this guy play live and in person against Florida State, and he torched Florida State. I was there in Louisville the day it happened, and it was like everybody else was in slow motion, and Lamar Jackson was just running at full speed. A question was posed on the Hitman Facebook page, and I've seen this other places as well. Is Lamar Jackson better than Michael Vick? Okay, I said this would be an interesting topic for a segment on my podcast tonight. So, is Lamar Jackson better than Michael Vick? Let's start in college. Lamar Jackson, University of Louisville. Michael Vick, University of Virginia Tech. Michael Vick gets his team to the national championship as a freshman. Loses to Florida State, by the way. It was Florida State. They beat the crap out of Michael Vick as a freshman. Florida State, just saying. I'm just saying it just to put it out there in case you didn't know. Peter Warrick torched Virginia Tech. Just saying. Anyway, Lamar Jackson wins a Heisman. Okay? Michael Vick didn't win a Heisman. College career, I got to give it to Lamar Jackson. What we just talked about. The best player in college football wins the Heisman. Okay, he won the Heisman. Got to give him a check mark there. We're going to the NFL. And here's where it changes completely, okay? A lot of these people are hit with what they call recency bias. Recency bias is when something happens and it's really recent and you forget about things that once were back in the day. Okay, to me, this conversation can't even take place right now. Okay, you got Lamar Jackson in his first full year as a starting quarterback versus Michael Vick, pre-dogfighting Michael Vick and post-dogfighting Michael Vick, still better at this stage if you're comparing these two. Okay, to me, you can't even do this right now. Okay, you can compare arms. They both have good arm strength. Michael Vick wasn't known for his accuracy, neither is Lamar Jackson, but they can both spin the ball. Okay, so it's kind of a check mark, kind of a push, if you will. Okay, they both have the same level, we'll say, of accuracy. Michael Vick, I believe, not, you know, head and shoulders faster than Lamar Jackson, but, you know, a significantly amount faster than Lamar Jackson is. If this trend continues with Lamar Jackson rising up and doing this year after year after year, then we can have the conversation about, is he better than Michael Vick? As of right now, Hitman's opinion, not even close. We've seen from Patrick Mahomes a fantastic year last year. Fantastic. Mind-numbing numbers that we knew he could not replicate again. The same can be said for Lamar Jackson. I can totally, totally see the game we got this week between Baltimore and San Fran as a potential Super Bowl rematch. We're going to get to see just how good Lamar Jackson is against that defense. We're going to get to see how good that defense is at stopping Baltimore. Fantastic game to watch this weekend on a fantastic weekend for football. Cannot wait to see that. So in answer to the question, as of right now, this isn't a comparison for me. It's still Michael Vick, and it's not even close. I'm not putting it on 1 year because of recency bias for me. It's not happening. Cowboys, Patriots in the terrible pouring down rain. And it was a game where the score, I didn't really understand the score. But I didn't really think Dallas had much of a chance to go up there and win. I did say last week it would be great if they could go in there. You know, they do have the tools and the potential to go in there and win, but potential gets you fired. And maybe that's what we're looking at, you know, with Jason Garrett. I don't think he's getting fired because this is the end of his contract year. So they'll probably see it through, and he may not come back to Dallas next year, which opens up, you know, who's going to be their coach. I'm not going down that road right now. But, you know, Dak Prescott, 212 and a pick. The interception was actually phenomenal. If you saw the interception, very, very athletic pick, you know, when he threw the ball to Cooper. But, you know, Zeke, 86 yards. You know, they didn't have a whole lot. Cooper, no catches. You know, Randall Cobb continuing to have a decent year was about the only bright spot. But we had to see this coming, okay? In Foxborough, weather was just horrible. 15-mile-an-hour winds, was pouring down rain, and it's against the top defense, you know, in the NFL. We had to see this coming, okay? If you played Dak Prescott, you in your fantasy leagues, you shouldn't have, okay? I pulled him in every league I could except for one, and I had to play him because Kyler Murray was on a bye. So the score is a little bit befuddling just because – on that 4th-and-7 down there in the end, Troy Aikman at best, they should have went for the touchdown instead of taking the field goal. And I guess you're looking at the theory of, well, they had 6 minutes to go in the game. Garrett's probably thinking, the weather's crap. We can get a 3-and-out and get the ball back. I can see the thought process, but, you know, you've been down there 2 or 3 times. You've missed a field goal and you got a couple field goals. You know, you're going to have to score a touchdown. A field goal isn't going to do it. So that's a bad knock on that game. Dallas, you know, they are a 6-5 team. They lose games that they're going to lose because the teams are better, and they win the games of teams that they're better than. Okay, that's what their record is. They beat the crap teams, and they lose to good teams. So what's it make them? Does it make them a crap team? Well, no, it makes them 6-5, and, you know, now they're going to fight for a playoff spot, probably host a wild card and lose in the first round. Oh! Okay, I know it's 2-8 team, but the Browns look good 3 straight games, okay? And you got to build somewhere, okay? You got to start somewhere. Baker Mayfield, 327, 3 touchdowns, great fantasy week for you if you started him. Nick Chubb, 106, Kareem Hunt, 37, scored his first touchdown. Jarvis Landry, fantastic game, 10 catches, 2 touchdowns. Beckham got in the end zone. Okay, Baker continues to spread the ball around. We are starting to see this team play well, okay, and gel. And like I said, back at the beginning of the season, you know, I was like, you know, just give them time, give them time, give them time. Let this team work together. Let them, you know, let them build chemistry, get to going, you know. Then they had a bit of a lull, and people's like, oh, Baker's garbage, and blah, 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 blah. You got to give them time, okay? You can't just put it together. Okay, you can't throw all these ingredients in the oven and expect it to be done. Right off the bat, it's got to cook first. This team's starting to play a little bit better. They're getting better every week, like I said they was going to. And really excited to see, you know, how they finish the season. Saints, Panthers. Game ended up going down to the wire. Really an interesting game to watch, very entertaining. Kyle Allen kind of got back on track, 256 and three touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, 64 yards on the ground, a touchdown, 69 through the air and a touchdown. You know, he's got to be in the conversation for MVP. If you're going to put Lamar Jackson in there, Christian McCaffrey has to be in contention, you know, for the MVP, for what he's done this year, you know, for his team. Most valuable player, I don't know if you can point it any other direction, that the only shining light on that team at some points is Christian McCaffrey. You know, he's got to be considered in consideration. He's got to be in the consideration for NFL MVP. Drew Brees, Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, my goodness, 311 yards, three touchdowns. You know, I'm not gonna lie and say that when I traded Alvin Kamara, I wasn't nervous. But you know, from his production since I traded him to date, I'm not missing out on having Kamara on my team. Traded Alvin Kamara and a first-round draft pick to next year, and I got Deshaun Watson. My team's still 11-1, and I clinched a first-round bye. Okay, I can't say that would happen if I had some other quarterback and, you know, Alvin Kamara on my team. I don't think I'm in the same position I am right now. If you've got Michael Thomas in any league, whether it's keeper, dynasty, redraft, whatever, you should be in contention in your leagues for him alone just this season. If you're lucky enough to have like a McCaffrey and a Michael Thomas on your team, yeah, you're probably going to be in the championship game. Another 10 catches, another 100 yards, and he found his way into the end zone. Michael Thomas is a complete wrecking ball, and he is worth everything he's ever going to make in the NFL as long as he can stay healthy. He is a fantastic player, and I know he went to Ohio State. I get that, but, you know, you can't deny what he's doing on the field week in and week out. You know, win or lose, Michael Thomas is a fantastic, fantastic football player, and it's awesome to see the numbers he's putting up this year. Bucks Falcons, I saw a stat somewhere on Twitter that said it's possible Jameis Winston wins. He leads the league in passing yardage this year, and he also will lead the league in interceptions. Another 300-yard game, three more touchdowns and two more picks, and the picks, oh, my gosh. You can just shake your head. You know, the one was, oh, what are you doing? But, you know, they was able to hang in it, and they won the game. Okay? Winston's keeping them in the, you know, keeping them winning. You know, I can't say they're going to make the playoffs. They still have a chance to be a 500 or better team, which puts them, you know, in the conversation. But, you know, they're not out of the playoffs right now. They beat a Falcons team who was surging. You know, if he could just keep the interceptions down, one a game as opposed to two or three a game, imagine the numbers he could put up and the touchdowns he would put up if he scored touchdowns on the drives where he threw picks. I got him in several leagues, and I'm riding him in several leagues, you know, probably into the fantasy playoffs because he puts up some gigantic numbers. And, you know, he's better than some of the other options that I have. But, you know, as long as he throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns, I can eat the two picks. Doesn't look good for him, you know, as a player on his team. But for fantasy, you know, he's winning people games. Other side of the ball, you know, Matt Ryan, 271. Pedestrian numbers, decent. Interception, no touchdowns. I just got a notification from Sleeper that Devontae Freeman practiced in full or something. I don't think that matters. I think whatever happened to Devontae Freeman, he's not the player that he was 2 years ago. And, you know, it's time to consider moving on from Devontae Freeman. It's also time to consider moving on from Brian Hill, who, as soon as I get done with this podcast, I'm cutting every share of him I have. That is a promise. Titans-Jags. Titans just smacked the Jags around like it was nobody's business. I didn't watch any of this game because it was the same game, the same time the Dallas-New England game was playing. It was the only other game on at the 4 o'clock window. But if you watched it or you was paying attention to it, you were really treated by some serious football, not only on the field but in your fantasy lineups, because Derrick Henry had a game, Ryan Tannehill had a game, two through the air, two on the ground. Okay, that's the element that they wanted Marcus Mariota to do when they drafted him out of Oregon. That's what they thought he was going to bring to the table. But instead, you got Ryan Tannehill coming in, 259, two touchdowns, no picks through the air. You tack on two more on the ground, like I said. Fantastic fantasy day. And it's not a bad play the rest of the season. I mean, double-check your matchups, but I picked him up in two or three places, and I may end up having to play him, you know, in a significant game in the fantasy playoffs, and, you know, you can feel comfortable with it. He's taken control of this. You know, he's passed the ball to numerous different receivers. A.J. Brown had a fantastic game. Corey Davis is even coming to life. Okay? And then you factor in Derrick Henry, who had his one game a year where he just comes in and just annihilates, has 159 and two touchdowns, and then you won't see Derrick Henry again for the rest of the season. He has one of these a year, and this was it. But, you know, congratulations to Tennessee. 6-5, still in playoff. I mean, big-time playoff contention. You know, they can still run out and have a 10-6 season, you know, 11-5 if they don't lose anymore. You know, this is a team that's worth watching and worth paying attention to. These guys are going to make a scrap for the NFL playoffs, which bodes well for you in your fantasy playoffs because they have something to play for. The Jags, on the other hand, 4-7 now. Their season's taking a dip. It's not the same Jacksonville team we saw a couple years ago. It's just not. There was a Fournette sighting. He had two touchdowns. That figures. I traded him in a league just to get rid of him. I'll never have him on my team again. He's having a good year, statistically wise, in PPR leagues and yardage leagues, where you get, you know, yardage points per, you know, 10 yards or whatever. In straight touchdown leagues, he's been worse than terrible. If there is such a thing as worse than terrible, that's what he's been. But I mean, he's been good for Jacksonville the whole season, and he may be the only bright light. Nick Foles coming back, he looked a little bit better this week. 272, no touchdowns, no picks. You know, you want to see your quarterback needs to throw touchdowns for you. I mean, that's okay. If he doesn't throw touchdowns, most likely your wide receivers aren't catching touchdowns. Just kind of the way it goes. Westbrook, you know, 8 catches, 69 yards. You know, you like to see that. You like to see the targets and the catches, but, you know, you want some more out of him. Nick O'Leary, he's the new guy there in Jacksonville, cut recently and picked up by them. 4 catches, 36 yards. That may be something worth looking, keeping a hold of, just to keep, you know, on the back of your mind, because he's been with 3 different teams now. And, you know, if you know anything about Nick O'Leary, he is Jack Nicklaus's grandson, the former golfer, the famous golfer. And so he's got, you know, good pedigree in his bloodline. So I'm keeping an eye on Nick O'Leary, you know, maybe as a deep stash in tight end leagues where you have to play a tight end and bye weeks or whatever. He's got a lot of talent. Be curious to see, you know, how he does with Jacksonville. This next game was very bizarre to me. I didn't watch it because it's two of my least favorite teams in the NFL, but it's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And here's what's bizarre to me. Okay, Pittsburgh wins the game, but they had to do it with Devlin Hodges coming in relief of Mason Rudolph, throwing 118 yards and a touchdown. Okay, he had to come in and right the ship and get the win over the winless Bengals. Now, Pittsburgh goes to 6-5. They're still very much alive. You know, but they're fighting. Not only are they fighting themselves, they're fighting the Browns, who are coming on strong, and they're fighting the Ravens, who are running away with the division. Literally, Lamar Jackson's running away with the division. They're going to struggle. You know, they have to. I don't think they can afford to lose many more games. They're 6-5 now. I get that they're above 500, but you know, it's a 3-horse race in that division. And you know, they're the odd man out right now, as far as, you know, you're looking at it big picture. Browns are coming on. Ravens are smoking hot. Pittsburgh, you know, left in the wake here, but definitely got quarterback issues. They definitely didn't plan on Big Ben getting hurt, obviously. So, you know, Mason Rudolph had looked good. I was on Mason Rudolph's wagon. I'm like, man, he's doing good. He's growing. He's getting better every game. And, you know, he's struggling the last couple of weeks. And, you know, hopefully they get it better. I like Rudolph. I like him in college. You know, I think he's good for the league. I think he's got a lot of talent. But we'll just see. The one guy I want to talk about for Pittsburgh, and Kane Harder, this is for you. Benny Snell. This may be Benny Snell's chance, man. This may be his chance. You got some injuries, okay? Connor's still hurt. Jalen Samuels is, okay? This could be Benny Snell's chance. 21 carries, 98 yards. He may get his shot to see what he can do. Okay, he's obviously not as fast and as explosive as Connor, but he could be very well better than everything else they've got on their roster right now. You know, Benny Snell, rookie out of Kentucky. I have zero shares of him anywhere. Really be interested to see how he does the rest of the season if he gets a chance, you know. And what do I preach on this podcast almost all the time? Opportunity. You get an opportunity. If you get the opportunity and you can seize it, that's where you make your mark. And he has the opportunity. Let's see what he does with it. Very interested, very anxious to see what Benny Snell does with his chance if they give it to him here in Pittsburgh. Niners-Packers, throughout history, probably my two least favorite teams. It's a toss-up between the Packers, Niners, and the Redskins. When these two teams play each other, you just kind of root for just to whop them, okay? Jimmy Garoppolo, decent fantasy day, 253 and two touchdowns. The guy I want to talk about in this game is Raheem Mostert. He looks like the best guy, in my opinion. Okay, I don't know if Coleman's hurt or whatever, but, you know, and then Breida's always hurt, in and out, whatever. Raheem Mostert, this could be his opportunity as well, just like I said with Snell a minute ago. This could be his chance. You know, he deserves, you know, to get some time. Six carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. That's 7.5 yards a carry. That is fantastic. Give the dude a chance. Let him see what he can do. George Kittle back from injury. I didn't play him in the Chumps League. I was too afraid he may re-injure himself. That's my bad. 60-yard touchdown catch. 6 for 129. Good day for him. He's obviously a big-time anchor, you know, in that offense, and he adds a sense of, you know, leadership and, you know, stability and everything when he's on there. Definitely a difference maker when he's on the field. For the Packers, I can't deny this. I love to see them struggle. Even though they're 8-3, you know, they're not really struggling as a whole. They got smoked in this game. I love that. I love that Aaron Rodgers only had 100 yards passing. I love that he's frustrated with his offense. That just makes me smile. But it doesn't help your fantasy at all, okay? Rodgers stunk up your day. He may have many salvaged it with his touchdown, okay? The running game still continues to be an issue in Green Bay, okay? He's getting some wide receiver help back, but they need some solid help around Davante Adams. They're just not getting it really anywhere. And, you know, until they do, you're going to continue to see this offense spit and sputter and struggle. And against great defenses, which you're going to see in throughout the playoffs, they're going to struggle. And, you know, the Niners just beat them to death. And, you know, once that happens, you know, that's a recipe for disaster when you've got nothing to really go on. When you're leaning on Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, who's just coming back from injury, you're just, that's just a lot with not a whole lot of help. Ah, Bills, Broncos, 20-3. Buffalo takes care of business. I'm going to pause for just a moment. If I had a hand clap, actually, I do have a hand clap. So here we go. Congratulations to Frank Gore, passing Barry Sanders on the all-time rushing list. He's now behind Emmitt Smith and Sweetness, the only two guys ahead of him, and I don't see him catching either one of those guys. I hope that he don't. But they cannot be denied, you know, his longevity in this league. You know, he had two severe knee injuries in college, one on both knees at the University of Miami. Was able to bounce back from that, have a very successful NFL career, and they say, is he a Hall of Famer? Well, if you're in the top five in the rushing list of all time, I think you're the Hall of Famer. I don't care about the longevity. Okay, the people say, well, you're going to have that many years, that many yardage if you have that many years in the league. Very good point, but that says something. At the running back position where you get beat on like a piñata every time you carry the ball, to make that longevity work for you says a lot about you, not only your ability, your toughness, your desire. You know, I think that alone gets him into the Hall of Fame. Now, whether it does or not, who knows? You know, it may be years before he gets, you know, put in. But his numbers on the field and his longevity in this league are something we very, very rarely see at that position and, you know, probably won't see anymore. You know, we're down to the end of these days of these dogs at running back, okay? Adrian Petersons and the Frank Gores and those guys that, you know, were just grinded out backs and, you know, the main guy every play, we're down to the end of that. We're seeing everything now is running back by committee. You know, even in Minnesota, you've seen Dalvin Cook, who's a 1,000-yard rusher this year, but, you know, he's getting spelled by Alexander Mattison, and he's doing a very good job. And, you know, in their running back by committee role. And that's not necessarily a running back by committee, but the backup systems and, you know, even Tony Pollard's getting some touches here in the late part of the season. So you got guys splitting time, and these iron horses at running back, they're getting phased out because the running back position just not, it's not longevity-wise, it doesn't really happen. You get a guy like Frank Gore who's been in the league this long, you got to tip your hat to the guy and say, you know, great job, great NFL career, played with about every team there is. For the game, you got Josh Allen, 185, two touchdowns, okay, 56 yards on the ground for Josh Allen. That is similar to Baltimore, only he's not as explosive. Definitely can throw the ball farther than Lamar Jackson, but I'm not sure that accuracy may be about the same. But this is their formula for winning, okay? They got solid run production, 106 from Devin Singletary, 65 from Gore. Allen chipped in 56 himself on the ground, a quarterback, like I just said. Okay, and he passes for almost 200 passing yards throughout the air. That keeps it balanced, and, you know, that's going to give Dallas trouble on Thanksgiving Day. A quarterback that can run and scramble and move around, okay, it takes another level. Okay, but Jalen Smith, and they're not going to have Leighton Vander Esch again this week, is going to pose trouble for Dallas on Thanksgiving Day when they go down to Texas and play in AT&T Stadium. They're going to give Dallas fits because of his running ability and able to move and keep things alive. Chicago Bears, New York Football Giants. You know, the Bears won a game and should have won. Okay, the Giants aren't a very good football team. The Bears aren't the greatest football team. Okay, if I had one player to grab a hold of on this team, and I've heard this on many podcasts, and I do not disagree, the only player I really consistently want is Allen Robinson. And he put up another good day, 6 for 131 and a touchdown. He's the only thing on this team that is consistently worth a start every single week. Montgomery, he's killing me. I thought David Montgomery was going to have a way better season than he is. 13 touches. Okay, that's you want more than 22 yards, 1.7 a carry. You got to have more than that. And I don't know. It's not good. The running game there is just not very good, and that's causing problems because Trubisky's not very good. So when you don't have a running game and you can key on the passing, Trubisky's not great. You know, they was able to win a game that they should have won. You know, they got them to 5-6, but they're struggling. They're going to scratch. They're going to have problems finding their way into the playoffs on a team where their defense is really good and their offense should really just, you know, be better. I see the Bears struggling, and they need to address the quarterback position. I know he threw for 278 yards. I get that. But, you know, it was against a Giants team that just wasn't very good. Against better teams, Trubisky's going to struggle. Last game I want to talk about tonight, Jets-Raiders. Jets smoked the Raiders 34-3. Sam Darnold rising in the quarterback rankings, rising in fantasy rankings. If he's out there in your free agent markets, go get him. Rest of the season, he has a pretty good schedule. 315, two touchdowns. He also ran one in. Don't see that happening all the time. That was a bonus. Sam Darnold getting better every week and could be a guy if he's out there and you need a quarterback to stream. Like, say you've got DeAndre or Deshaun Watson going against New England this week and you don't like that play, and I don't blame you, and Darnold's on your free agent wire, you know, it may not be a bad idea to make that switch. Definitely like, I do not like Watson this week against New England. You know, Le'Veon Bell, not great numbers, not a great season. 5 catches for 59 yards, that saved your fantasy day. 49 yards on the ground, nothing to scratch at, but enough to keep the defense a little bit honest. And he could, you know, Darnold could move around and find some receivers. That being said, they do need some help at wide receiver, you know, for the Jets. They could use a big-time playmaker. Robbie Anderson is the big-time threat, but they need somebody that's consistent and that you can rely on, you know, week in and week out. Demaryius Thomas is just at the end of his career. He's getting old. And he's not the guy. They're going to need to address that in the offseason and probably see the Jets drafting a wide receiver in the early rounds of the draft this next year. What do we do with Josh Jacobs? Definitely not dropping him because this game got away from him. So this 34 yards it sucked. I do have him in a league where I'm, you know, trying to make a run at the playoffs, and he's one of my main guys, but you know, I'm not going to just, you know, wash him down the drain. But you want to see better numbers out of that guy, especially heading into the playoffs. And, you know, it's just a game where that game got away from him. The Jets got up, big lead. It was 13-3 at the half, and, you know, they just rolled after that. They put 21 on him in the third quarter, and by then you're not running the ball anymore. So, you know, I think Jacobs will be fine. I like him for the rest of the season and the next year for sure. So, you know, some of those games just get away from you, and that's the end result. Well, that'll do it for me. Have a great week. Good luck. Happy Thanksgiving. My name is Chris Strasvall. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Find the show, Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict. However you listen, I do appreciate it. Keep the tweets coming. Keep the contact coming on the Facebook page. Have a great week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. See you next time on the Hitman Show.